Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Let us turn together to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, as we read the verses 1 to 8, and these words also form our text. Hear God's word. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. So far the reading of the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of it to our hearts today. Dear friends, today we commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is rightly regarded by many Christians as the ultimate act of redemption. Why is that? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the Reformed confessions in Lord's Day 17, gives three reasons why the resurrection of Christ is significant. And it says this. First, by his resurrection he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he had purchased for us by his death. Secondly, we are also, by his power, raised up to a new life. And thirdly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Now, these are wonderful truths, and they are indeed worth celebrating. And this is precisely why Christians throughout the ages have set this day aside as a special holy day. Now, we have a record of what transpired on this day in the passage of Scripture that we read together, Matthew 28, the verses 1 to 8, where we have the record of the women at the tomb of Jesus. And it's to this passage that we turn our attention with God's help. We'll reflect on these verses under the theme, "The Women at the Tomb of Jesus." And we'll consider, first of all, the discovery that they made, secondly, the message they heard, and thirdly, the joy they experienced. It was very early in the first day of the week. The sun was just beginning to peek over the horizon. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and according to Luke's gospel, several other women were making their way to the tomb of the Lord Jesus in order to anoint his body for burial. You may remember they had begun this process shortly after Jesus had died. But it was late in the day, and the Sabbath day was approaching. So they decided to complete the process after the Sabbath had ended. Well, as they approached the tomb, there was a great earthquake, Matthew tells us. Now, this was not the first earthquake to hit the region. An earthquake occurred immediately after Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross. We read about that in Matthew 27, verses 51 and 52. And there we read that as soon as Jesus gave up his spirit, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, earthquakes often accompanied the mighty redemptive acts of God. Think, for example, of the earthquake that shook the ground when God gave the law at Mount Sinai, or the earthquakes that will occur when the Lord comes again. These earthquakes serve as a tangible evidence of the power and presence of God, and that's true here as well. As the women approached the tomb of Jesus, the earth trembled and shook. And just then, an angel of the Lord appeared. Matthew provides us with a description of this angel in verse 3. He says his countenance or his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The angel's bright appearance suggests that he had come directly from the presence of the throne room of God in heaven. And whenever any creature comes into direct contact with God, they reflect his heavenly glory. Think, for example, of Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai. His face was so bright that the people begged him to put a veil over it. Or we can think of the angel who announced the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds. His brightness was so radiant that the glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds during that night. Well, we see the same thing happening here. This angel literally radiated with the glory of God. Well, upon seeing this angel, Matthew tells us that the soldiers who were guarding the tomb of Jesus became like dead men. Now remember, these soldiers were commissioned by Pontius Pilate to guard the tomb of Jesus at the request of the Jewish religious leaders. They were fearful that the disciples of our Lord might come and steal his body and then claim that he had risen from the dead. Evidently, these soldiers were so frightened by what they saw that they literally fainted. They collapsed right where they were standing. Now, significantly, Matthew says it was not the earthquake that frightened them, it was rather the angel. And that is not surprising. Again and again in the scriptures, we find that when sinful man comes into direct contact with pure holiness, he quakes in fear. Adam quaked in fear when God appeared to him in the garden. Manoah did the same, the father of Samson, when the angel told him that he and his wife would have a son. So did Isaiah, when he saw the Lord in his temple. In each case, these men trembled with fear. And that's the case here as well. These guards, these rough and battle-hardened soldiers who were used to being scared, shook for fear of the angel and became like dead men. Well, as these guards lay motionless on the ground, the angel proceeded to roll away the stone which sealed the entrance to the tomb. Now, that was no small feat. The stone that sealed the entrance of a tomb was so large and heavy that it took several full-grown men to move it. But this angel moved it all by himself. He not only moved it, he rolled it away. And then, Matthew says, he sat upon it. Now, why did the angel roll away the stone from the tomb? Some have said that he rolled it away in order to let Jesus out, but that cannot be. Jesus is Almighty God. If he can heal the sick and cast out the demons, if he can feed the multitude and restore sight to the blind, if he can calm the wind and the waves, if he can walk on water and raise the dead, then he can move a stone out of the way simply by speaking a word. Besides that, Jesus' body was at this point glorified. And as such, it was not bound by the limitations of the physical world. Remember when the disciples were gathered together in the upper room, Jesus simply entered the room even though the doors were locked. And after eating with the two men on the way to Emmaus, Jesus suddenly disappeared. Jesus could come and go as he pleased in his glorified body. If he wanted to walk out of a sealed tomb, he could do exactly that. In fact, it's likely that Jesus had already emerged from the tomb before the angel even arrived. Well, why then did the angel roll away the stone? Well, it was not to let Jesus out, but rather to let the women in, and Peter and John, who came later. You see, our Lord knew how difficult it would be for the women and his disciples to believe that he had actually risen from the dead, even though he said that he would do exactly that. And therefore, before departing from the heavenly throne room, he commanded the angel to roll away the stone from the tomb so that they could look inside and see for themselves and conclude that Jesus had risen from the dead, as he had said. Now we see here how much care the Lord takes to assure us of the truth of his word. The Lord knows how slow of heart we are to believe his word. That's why he performed miracles. That's why he gave us the sacraments. That's why he also commanded the angel to open up the tomb so that we might believe that he has indeed risen from the dead. And then the question comes to you today, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said that unless we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then our faith is vain and we are still in our sins. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, why did he say that? Because if Christ has not risen, then he cannot save. And if he cannot save, then we will surely perish in our sins. Thanks be to God, beloved, Christ did rise from the dead. And as proof, the scriptures point us to the empty tomb. Well, do you see it today? Do you also believe that Christ has risen from the dead? Oh, believe what the scriptures teach. Christ is risen. So these women made a shocking discovery. The tomb of Christ was empty. But they also heard a wonderful message. And that brings me to my second point. As the women gazed at the empty tomb, suddenly an angel appeared, perhaps the same angel who had rolled away the stone earlier. And like the guards before them, they were frightened, although not to the point where they fainted, like the Roman soldiers did. And sensing their fear, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Now, the original Greek here is very emphatic. The King James has, "Fear not ye," the emphasis on that word "ye." The angel here is contrasting what should be their reaction to the reaction of the Roman soldiers. They were scared out of their wits, and rightly so. For as we've seen, whenever sinful men come into contact with pure holiness, the reaction is always one of fear. They were so afraid, they fainted in their tracks. But the angel says to the women, "Don't you be like them." Now, why should they not be like them? Well, because they were believers. And as such, they had nothing to fear. God was not angry with them. He loved them. He was their father. They were his children by faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, the angel said to them, "Do not you be afraid." Well, why should these women not be afraid? Well, the angel told them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Now, here we have the explanation as to why the tomb was empty. And also why the women should not be afraid. It's because Jesus had risen from the dead. Now that's an astounding statement. Jesus had risen from the dead. How could that be? The women didn't know. But to assure them of this, the angel proceeded to invite them to see for themselves. "Come," he said, beckoning to the tomb. "See the place where the Lord lay." Now for us, seeing is believing, at least for many of us. And the angel knew that, and that's why he invited these women to come into the tomb so that they could see for themselves that it was empty. And they did. They went into the tomb, and they saw that it was just as the angel had said, Jesus was not there. And as they stood and wondered at this sight, the angel gave the women an important commission. He said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." Now, in making that statement, the angel was urging the women not to think that the body of Jesus had been stolen. It had not been stolen. He had risen. He had risen from the dead, and now they had to go and tell his disciples. Now, since angels only do what God commands them to do, this commission came directly from the Lord Jesus himself. And that means that the Lord Jesus still cared very much for his disciples. He knew that his disciples were completely downcast. Not only was Jesus dead, but they had abandoned him in his greatest hour of need. Only John had stayed with him, and Peter had denied him. And as a result, they probably thought they were no longer worthy to be called his disciples. In fact, they may even have feared that soon they would be punished for their faithlessness. And our Lord knew this. And so, lest his disciples be overwhelmed with sorrow, he commissioned the angel to tell the women to go quickly even, and tell them that he had risen from the dead. Oh, you see how good and how gracious the Lord is, and how he stoops to our unbelief and our lack of faith. He didn't have to do this. He would have been perfectly just to abandon his disciples altogether, just as they had abandoned him, or at least to let them wallow in their guilt for a while, which is exactly what they deserved. But he doesn't do that. Instead, his heart goes out to them in love and pity and compassion, and he commands the angel, "Tell the women to go quickly and tell my disciples that I have risen from the dead." Dear friends, you know the Lord is still the same today. The Lord does not want us to live in fear and to be sad and doubtful and to be perpetually plagued by guilt. He wants us to believe that he is risen from the dead. Why? So that we may rejoice. You see, nothing brings more joy to the believer than knowing that Jesus has risen from the dead. For if Christ has risen from the dead, then we have hope, both in this life and in the life to come. And Jesus therefore instructed this angel to go and tell these women to go quickly and tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. But that's not all. Not only were they to tell them that he had risen from the dead, but also that he would go before them and meet them in Galilee. We read here in our text, "And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." The women and the disciples would see Jesus in Galilee. In fact, they would see him even before then. The women would see him as they made their way back to Jerusalem. Peter would see him, and possibly James as well, later on that very same day. So would the two men on the way to Emmaus. Finally, all of the disciples, with the exception of Thomas, would see him later that evening. But they would see him for a longer period in Galilee. And why is that? What was the purpose of that meeting in Galilee? Well, it was not only to prove to them that he had really risen from the dead. It was also to further instruct them in the things that they needed to know. You see, Jesus knew that soon he would have to ascend to his Father. And before he did so, he needed to teach his disciples many things. And he would do that in Galilee. Now, why Galilee, you say? Why not in Jerusalem? Well, probably because that's where they were from. And what is more, that is where our Lord began his earthly ministry. Galilee was far away also from the political and religious nerve center of Jerusalem. There they could meet in peace and safety. And Jesus knew that, and so he commanded the angel to tell them that he would meet them in Galilee. Now, beloved, if you're a believer in Christ today, one day the Lord will meet us too. Now, in a sense, he meets with us every week, doesn't he? When we gather together for worship, and in a special sense, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But ultimately, he will meet us physically in heaven. And what a glorious day that will be. Well, to be sure, it will not be glorious for those who are not in Christ. In fact, for them, it will be the most terrifying day of their life. Jesus says that on that day, those who do not believe will cry to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." They will do anything to avoid having to behold the holy gaze of Christ as he comes in judgment. But for those who are in Christ, it will be the sweetest day imaginable. For then we shall behold his face. We shall finally feel his embrace, drink in his smile, and hear him speak with us face to face. It will be a meeting like no other. And it will never end. For after Jesus met the disciples in Galilee, he disappeared again. He tarried among them for some 40 days, but at the end of these 40 days, he took them to the top of the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And there, with his hands outstretched in blessing, he slowly, gradually ascended up into heaven, where he remains until the time that he comes again to judge the living and the dead. And when he does, we will never be separated from him again. As Paul says, so we shall ever be with the Lord. We shall live and reign with him forever and ever. Oh, my friend, are you looking forward to that prospect? I'm certain the disciples did. How wonderful. Jesus would meet them in Galilee. I'm sure they couldn't wait for the day. And I hope that that may be true for every one of you who are believers in Christ. As believers, we should be waiting with eager anticipation for the day when we shall see the Lord Jesus. Is that true for you? Is it your daily prayer? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, the angel heard an amazing message. Jesus had risen from the dead, and they would see him in Galilee. Well, how did they respond to this? That brings me to my third and final point. After hearing the message of the angel, we read in verse 8 that the women went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Notice that the women did as they were told. The angel told them to go and tell the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead, and that's exactly what they did. And they did it immediately. Matthew says they departed quickly, and they even ran. Now, beloved, is that how we respond to the Word of God? How often does it not happen that the Word of God tells us to do something, either negatively, like putting a particular sin to death, or positively, like becoming more and more like Christ in a certain area of our life, and instead of doing that, we delay, or we make excuses, or we even flatly refuse? Well, how we need to take instruction from these women. They heard the Word of God, and they responded to it quickly and immediately. You know, so-called feminist theologians use this part of our text to buttress their claim that women can be preachers of the Word. Their argument goes something like this. Jesus, through the angel, commissioned these women to proclaim the gospel of Easter to the disciples, and therefore women may preach. But dear friends, that is completely false. For one thing, Jesus here is not ordaining these women to preach. That's a stretch. He was simply commanding them to relay to the disciples a message, which they did. And for another thing, if Jesus was ordaining women to preach in this passage, then he would be contradicting his own word through the Apostle Paul, who made it very clear on more than one occasion in his writings that women are not to preach. And yet, having said that, while our Lord here was not ordaining women to preach, he was most certainly bestowing on them a great honor. Jesus always bestowed great honor on women. He spoke with them. And he taught them, which was unheard of in those days. You think of Mary learning at the feet of Jesus. You think of the woman at the well who engaged Jesus in conversation, and he engaged her. He also healed many women. Think of Jairus' daughter, or the woman with the issue of blood, or the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. Women cared for him during his earthly ministry. Women were also co-laborers with the Apostle Paul, as he mentions in Philippians. But the greatest honor Christ bestowed on women is recorded here in our text. The first to see the resurrected Christ were not men, not even the disciples, but women. And the first to proclaim the good news of the resurrection were not men, not even the disciples, but women. Now, why women? Well, we can't say for sure. One thing we can say, that generally speaking, women are more spiritual and religious than men, and that's still true today. Women are also much more inclined to believe and trust in the Lord than men are. It was also true in Jesus' day. The most trusting, loving, caring, and believing of Jesus' disciples were women. And Jesus knew that, and so possibly as a kind of reward, he appeared first of all to them and commissioned them to go and tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. And that's exactly what they did. No sooner did the angel commission them than the women made their way back to the city to tell his disciples all that they had seen and heard. But notice how they did so. Matthew says, with fear and great joy. That's a strange combination of words, isn't it? It's almost contradictory. How is it possible to experience fear and great joy at the same time? Well, I'm not sure, but that's exactly what they experienced. They experienced fear and great joy. Why fear? Well, because they had just seen a mighty angel of the Lord, and they had heard things that made them tremble. Why with joy? Well, because their beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, had risen from the dead, just as he had said. These two things created within them this explosive combination, this mixture of competing emotions, fear on the one hand and great joy on the other. But notice that of these two emotions, joy was the dominant emotion. Not fear, but joy. Matthew doesn't say they left the tomb with great fear and joy. No, he says they left the tomb with fear and great joy. Now, why was joy the most dominant emotion? Well, obviously, because although they didn't fully understand it, they were glad, yes, even overjoyed that Jesus was alive. And we see here something, don't we, of the evidence of the great faith of these women. When the women told the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead, how did they respond? They responded in unbelief. Mark writes that when the disciples heard that he was alive and had been seen by Mary Magdalene, they did not believe. Luke says that the report of the women seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Thomas said that he would not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead unless he could put his actual finger into the actual holes in his hands and in his feet and thrust his hand into the gash in his side. And even after he appeared to them in Galilee, Matthew tells us that the disciples worshipped him, but some doubted. But not these women. As soon as they heard that Jesus had risen from the dead, they believed, and they responded with great joy, even before seeing him themselves. My friend, what about you today? Do you also believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? And is this a cause of great joy also for you? This morning we've heard the news that Jesus has risen from the dead. We've looked into the empty tomb. We have heard the angel's announcement. We have seen the women's response. Now what is your response? How do you respond to this news? Oh, may God grant that like these women, we too may respond to him as these great women responded with fear and joy, great joy, and that we may go our way rejoicing in him and telling others what these women also told the disciples, that Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Leman Road. Leman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard once again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is always welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Leman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.